talking to him and like a safe falls out of the sky and fractures his pelvis.
Oh, hello.
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by.
It is 503-733-2970.
503-733-2970. She looked like a little girl who had to go potty. I'm going to read that 100 times today. That's from Andrea Pacer. The New York Post, where all good news comes from. By the way, and she was handy enough, by the way, to print in huge letters Katie Couric's email address right at the top. Katie CBS. Oh, I guess this is actually the New York Post address. This is a New York Post address. They are compiling reader comments, and they're going to forward them to Katie Couric. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Later on, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's going to be here. We'll try to play, and I really mentioned this yesterday. I didn't mention it, but I did meet in my heart of hearts, deep inside my soul. I meant to do it, and I didn't. We'll try to play Ladylike from Storm in the Balls. And I meant to do it, like, because I knew she was singing as the original. She sang it last. I just wish she could play
the profane version.
Yeah, what are you going to do? And she had to cut it.
Lady Love by Lou Rawls?
Yes, yes. Everybody, and Boz Scaggs. More Boz Scaggs music these days. Yeah. And Tony Joe White. Where are all the Tony Joe White covers? There should just be some, really, that is some alternate reality. Like, that's the Croatia version of this program, where they can't afford the rights to anything good. So it's just a lot of, like, up on Cripple Creek, you know? Just a bunch of stuff that only Don Geronimo knows. Jim Roop later on. We'll have Jen Lane here. We'll do the full Rockstar recap with our good friend Kristen from accounting. And we'll have the Delana sound contest. All the results from that coming up next hour. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment you've all been waiting for.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, comrades, the top story today. Katie Couric had a surprise or two when she debuted last night.
Oh, wait. Let me, this is sound, right? I should be
this
loading
is sound,
this.
Yes.
All right, hold on.
And by the way, I find out what time it's on. It's on at 6:30 on Coin. So all the more reason to watch our neighbors who live in the basement here.
Hey, is the same coin that has the new traffic girl, right? That Sarah was supposed to train. And you just forgot to, right?
Oh, I still haven't called her. Damn it.
Oh, well, it's too late. She's already doing the job. She's already been on the air.
Has she?
I was in the department and this morning, like, so what about that new traffic girl on Coin?
Oh, I am such a bad person.
Well,
damn it.
You know what? Just sink or swim, sister. Just throw her in there.
She's already got the job. I mean,
yeah. I mean, look, I mean, she's really only doing the same thing Katie Couric would do, which is just to lean on a desk and look puffy.
I don't think she leans on anything.
Katie Couric?
Have you seen the new traffic girl?
I saw Katie Couric, by the way, last night. She shouldn't be leaning on anything unless it's well-supported. What?
Have you seen the new traffic girl?
No.
Now I'm completely curious.
Why would I possibly wake up to watch the new traffic girl?
I'm a stalker.
There's
I want to see my replacement.
That. Yeah, watching it while nude, holding my my orange juice. Yeah, that's it. No, I have no reason. I have no motivation to get up and watch the new traffic girl. She's no you, Sarah.
What if she's cuter than me?
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, that doesn't seem like
she does have an accent.
Oh, somebody said that too. And but they didn't put it that politely. They said, "What is wrong with her mouth and she talks?"
She's from England.
Really?
She sounds British. Yeah, there isn't anything wrong with her.
Well, there are no Americans to hire. There's nobody American looking for work.
Hello, Sarah.
Well, what do we have to do? Just go drive on the motorway, sister. Go back across the pond. We don't need your kind here.
She sounded really nice on the multiple messages she left me.
British? But please, I don't know what I'm doing.
She's like, you have the answers to questions that nobody else knows.
God! God! Die! I've got a bottle of pills. Well, sorry. Well, we should bring her up. We should get her on the program.
I have her phone number in here somewhere.
Really?
Well, because I saved her as whatever her name was, Traffic Girl, so now I'm going to have to go through, like, the 200 people on my phone and try and find blank Traffic Girl.
Fantastic. All right, well, we should bring her up and look at her teeth.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about Katie Couric.
Well, let's do that. The program has new theme music composed specifically for the show, and a familiar voice, that of Walter Cronkite, introducing the newscast and its new anchor.
Is Lisa Goddard about to come on the show? By the way, this is James Horner. I'm telling you right now, this is ripped off from W.G. Snuffy Walden, who created this for the West Wing. Stolen! Stolen!
It's the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric.
Oh, I feel comfortable already.
Now, hi, everyone. I'm very happy to be with you tonight.
I have an abrasive and nasal voice. Now, is he going to be doing that every day?
I hope so. He makes us all feel much more comfortable with her.
That's
so has she just
sad.
Packed on the pounds?
Well, no. But in TV terms, yes.
Yes. Well, you have to be a stick to look like normal on TV.
Now, this is not me saying this. This was said to me by someone who I will not name. But I did have someone last night say, well, you know, do you think Storm's going to win? And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, you know, she's a pretty good actress. She could always act. And, you know, that was her first love, was acting and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, Storm could probably be an actress. She, you know, she's good at that. And this person said, well, she'll have to lose some weight. And
she's already lost 15 pounds.
She's just a big girl.
Yeah, she's an Amazon.
Yeah, she's 6 feet. Like, she can't lose that much more weight.
I wasn't the one saying it. This is a person, someone who said this, who I will not name. But in TV terms, Katie Couric is a larger woman. Not in, like, real life. But, of course, television and real life have nothing to do with each other. But in television terms, she's a little hefty.
Yes. I was thinking about Davey's dad last night.
He's so great. Davey's dad is fantastic.
He is awesome. Yeah, and he was saying that she had rather large arms. He was watching her.
Katie Couric?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she does.
They were mammoth.
She's a substantial woman. But, you know, the thing about this, let's this woman.
CBS Evening
God,
News.
He still got it.
Katie Couric.
I know that it's only one line, but man, he does. I'm actually getting chills right now, and I don't know if that's a generational thing or not. Maybe it is.
No, it's very American.
But you know what? Walter Cronkite is just the voice of just truth. He's the voice of bedrock. Mm-hmm. Bedrock truth in this country. And I know he's almost 90. And so the fact that he can still just deliver that with the gravitas right there, it's fantastic. But you know what's kind of sad about that? What's sad about that is it's like when you saw Superman Returns and they were using Marlon Brando. And it's like it's just sort of sad that, you know, that they're, you know.
Well,
they're
that whole movie was sad.
It's a cheap trick. You know what I mean? It's just it's a cheap gimmick to make you love something that you wouldn't otherwise love. Walter Cronkite. I told you I met him.
Oh.
I told you that? I met Walter Cronkite in person. I met him, and I shook his hand. We didn't sit and talk about world affairs or anything, but when I did my horrible syndicated show, one of the few high points, other than going to Fargo, was when I did my show live from Manhattan. I did this awful version, this awful, terrible syndicated version, which that's how I'm legally required to refer to it, the terrible syndicated version. I did it live from the Museum of TV and Radio in Midtown.
What fun.
In Manhattan. It was very cool, because it's a stage that so many people have stood on. And I did my show live, and I was able to say, live from Manhattan, it's the Rick Emerson. It was really cool. I actually did the whole thing, too. I was like, live from New York City, the Rick Emerson show. It was a cool feeling. But you know what? And Stan Freberg was supposed to be there, and he wasn't. And I've been so bummed about that forever, because I worship Stan Freberg. What? Are you laughing at me and my hero worship? Stan Freberg was supposed to be there, and he wasn't. I was bummed. I love that guy, Stan Freberg. But Walter Cronkite... I didn't know later. I was up with talking with the person who was handling my show at that time, whose name cannot be uttered, for fear that, like Beetlejuice, he might reappear. But I was talking to him, and he was giving me his terrible, "Your show is awful! And kind of, be more like Ed Till!" And so I'm like, yes, okay, fine, sitting there just being beaten down. But I looked on the stage, and there's a small man surrounded by a big crowd. I'm like, who's that? And I asked somebody... And I said, who's the guy? And he's like, oh, it's Walter Cronkite. And I said, oh, come on, get out. And he's like, no, it's Walter Cronkite. And man, I walk down there, and it's like, at that point, you realize that you're being sort of a sycophant. You realize that you're being another guy waiting in line to say crap that he's heard a million times. But you know what? I didn't care. You don't care at that point. You don't care that you're saying the same thing he's heard a million times. Because it's like, how often? So I stood in line, and the crowd kind of dispersed. And gingerly kind of stuck him. He's like, because you don't want to startle him, you know, or whatever, and make him think that you're some what's the frequency Kenneth guy. But I just put my hand out. I said, Mr. Cronkite, I grew up watching you. You know, you're the gold standard, and it's an honor to meet you, and just thanks for all you've done. And he's, oh, thank you. And thank you for, that means a lot to me, young man. Thank you. And I was just like, yeah, you know, and man, it was so great. It was so great, and it was so wonderful, and I was just, I floated on air. The rest of the day. It was the best thing ever. So, all right, anyway. So there's Cronkite doing the, Katie Couric.
So Katie gathers her stuff together and introduces some of the stories in the newscast.
I'm Katie Couric. Tonight, it was the first front in the war on terror. And in Afghanistan now, the Taliban are back with a vengeance.
Okay.
So there's a hot chick doing a story in the Taliban.
We were all wondering what was going on in Afghanistan, by the way. That's when there's nothing else there. There's just a whole lot of nothing in the news. And you know that when you're Katie Couric and you're this first show, you know that you're just praying there's a bombing somewhere. Somebody is, you know that she was probably bummed that Steve Irwin, you know, didn't die like yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. All right.
So anyway, she asked for ideas from viewers after playing clips of sign-offs because she doesn't know how to sign off yet. Well, she's taking ideas. She played some famous newscasters, including Edward R. Murrow, who never, ever anchored the CBS Evening News, so that's kind of a stretch of the truth.
Because he just did the See It Now.
Right. And that other puppy personality thing, where he interviewed Liberace. I can't think of the name of that show.
Oh, but I know exactly
the person
you...
I think it's called. He did that, but he never... Also, longtime anchors Huntley and Brickley, who are on the...
Good night, Chet.
And her predecessor, Dan Rather, and fictional anchorman, Ron Burgundy.
I'm not sure any of those will work for me, but if you have a bright idea for a great sign-off, log on to our website at cbsnews.com and tell me. I know we'll have a lot of fun reading them, and who knows, maybe one will actually stick. But for now, all I have to say is, I'm Katie Couric. Thank you so much for watching. And I hope to see you tomorrow
night. It's not really a,
And I hope to see you tomorrow night.
I hope to see, please keep watching.
And then she
You don't see anybody, you see a teleprompter.
No, and that's, this. This is a list of my notes. I made observations while watching Katie Couric last night. And I'm glad we had the Cronkite thing. Because I missed it. I am. It's your hole.
Well, it's the only event that anybody's going to be watching.
Oh, I'm not going to be watching. Yeah, no, that's it. It's like the...
You've already seen the news several times before you watch this.
This is Katie Couric news last night. You know what it is? It's like the XFL. You watched the XFL once, and then you never watched it again. So here are my observations, and I put them in virtual time, although I watched it late at night on TiVo. But I've time-stamped these observations as though I was watching Katie Couric live. 6:31. Damn, I missed Walter Cronkite. Because I joined right at the whole, hello, I'm glad to be here. Who says that? Who, like, you can't picture Cronkite or Rather any of those guys saying, hello, I'm glad to be here.
Doug Steppen, maybe.
Yeah, which is Doug Steppen or David Brenner, I'm glad to be here. We're playing Stump the Hand. All right, 6:30. Here are my observations last night in Katie Couric. 6:31. Damn, I missed Cronkite.
Oh, my God.
6:32. Why is there no desk? Why is she just leaning on something? I feel uncomfortably close to Katie Couric right now.
What's she leaning on?
There's no desk. It's so weird. It literally... Okay, on this radio. But, okay, I have a chair here. Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm just standing in front of the chair, leaning against it with my hands behind me.
That's awkward.
That's kind of how she did it. Sort of like a look at my pelvis. Kind of a sort of a thing. And then, I am wearing a blindingly white blazer. I look like a floating head. I am old. That's kind of what Katie Couric... There's no desk, and you don't realize it. You don't realize until you
maybe
watch, like...
Maybe they couldn't fit it into the elevator, and they didn't find out until the last
maybe
minute.
There was only room for her or the desk. You don't really realize how much you sort of rely on things like a desk. I sound stupid. Until you just see the show, and there's no desk. You know what I mean? And then you're like, what a minute, something's wrong. And you feel so uneasy, you know? All right, let's see. Other observation. 6:34. It's from me watching Katie Couric. 6:34 p.m. Katie Couric looks 100 years old and terrified. She just seemed so freaked out and so seriously a whole lot of like, if this fails, I'm a laughing stock. She was like, at any moment.
All of our jobs are riding on Katie Couric right now.
It's so true. We should email her then, let her know. Dear Katie, our jobs.
Our jobs depend on your success.
We're all counting on you. She looked like at any moment like she was going to dissolve into nervous, insane giggles. 6:35.
That's why we're doing our best to support her.
Yes. 6:35. These production values are terrible. Is this being broadcast from the WB? It was a lot of, like, green screen, but really unconvincing green screen behind her.
Maybe it needed to be ironed.
6:36. What is wrong with her right eyebrow? 6:42. I'm now watching a bad episode of 60 Minutes. 6:48. That eyebrow looks retarded. Does her makeup woman hate her? Here's what it looks like. It looks as though, follow me on this, it looks as though she had very full, very thick, very eyebrows that were very pronouncedly arched, and then went out and got a strong, strong suntan that way, then after the suntan, shaved away most of the eyebrows. You know, does that make any sense? So she got so then it's like there's this white swath above and below the eyebrow as though she got a tan and there used to be more hair there. It was very...
You tan after the waxing, not before.
Yeah, don't look at me. I'm not doing it. I'm just saying that's what it looks like. It's not the thing where they shaved the eyebrow off and then penciled it back on. That looks hideous. This is just like they did a tanning, then an eyebrow plucking. 652. Katie Couric is being paid $14 million for this. I could do this. I do this. 653. Why isn't Prince Charles king yet? They were showing baby photos, and they showed Prince Charles. Note to self, why isn't Prince Charles king yet? How old is he?
Because the queen is still in power. You can't have two.
It occurred to me this morning, does his mom have to die?
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rick.
Yeah. No, don't. I don't.
Okay.
No. 654. Katie Couric is talking about the cruise baby. Ha! You're no better than the rest of us, Katie Couric. 656. Is Katie asking us to help her with her program? Why do I have to do Katie's job for her? She's being paid $14 million a year. 659. Who is Megan Mullally, and why is she getting a program? They were doing... Did you see the ad?
That's the girl from Will and Grace, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The boss lady.
Yeah.
I've never seen Will and Grace. I don't listen to hip-hop. Why is Megan Mullally getting a show, and who is she? Megan Mullally looks like she has huge bosoms.
Everybody's entitled to a talk show at least once.
So that's what we're learning.
Right.
6:59 and 30 seconds. I almost certainly want to have sex with Megan Mullally and then lose her phone number. And then that's the end of it. That's the end of my note-taking.
If you ever heard a talk, you'd probably change your mind.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Just a quick sort of in and out. I'm just going to read these two emails, then we'll break. We have calls that we will get to. What are these people calling about? Let me see. Luke in Australia. And then Stephen claims there was profanity on Rockstar last night. Let's see. Rick, I put on CBS News just to see Katie. 30 seconds and I flip the channel. Her eyes are too far apart. Her face reminds me of Oprah's this way. Poor Dan. Who's Dan? Oh, Dan, rather. Let's see.
Been forgotten already.
Yeah. How about this? Katie, subject line, Katie Couric is fat, fat, fat. Rick, I couldn't resist. I watched Katie last night. Fat, 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 fat.
Well, I think her choice of outfits.
Oh,
gave her,
right! Yeah.
It made her bosom seem bigger, more matronly.
I didn't notice that. I just noticed that her whole body seemed...
Like she'd like to put her arms around you like a five-year-old.
She want to hold you
after
to...
After she made your lunch and turned you off to school.
I was just going to say, hold you to her bosom and make you some soup.
Yep.
I kept wondering if that single button holding her blindingly white blazer would make it through the newscast.
Yeah, a lot of people must have thought that.
Jeff, you don't wear white on camera. Everyone knows. I know this, and I'm an idiot. Do we have more Couric news, or is that it?
That is it.
All right, there you go. Well, let's break. We break. We'll come back. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. On the way, Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon. We'll do our Delana sound, blah, 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 Delana sound later on. We got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, top five, all that. Don't go anywhere. Hello. Yes, Rick Emerson in the back. Yes, hello.
So this is a techno station.
The kids love this music. It's 503-733-2970. She looked like a little girl who had to go potty. That's Katie Couric. Although it was worth it all just to meet my new friend Megan Mullally, who wants to be my special companion.
You are the only person in the world who doesn't know who she is.
Why would I? Okay. I am not the only person in the world. So, I'm just saying, I can count on zero fingers the number of Will and Grace episodes I have ever watched. So, the better question is, why would I possibly know who she is? I mean, there's just no...
The show was on for many, many years.
Yeah, but...
She's been on things other than that, I just can't remember what.
But you know...
I mean, everyone knows the dog on Frasier, but people don't watch Frasier.
That is a fair point. Here's how you know that you don't actually want to watch the Megan Mullally show, though, because the logo is covered in daisies and flowers.
Like a Portland police car.
Yes, like a lot of hand-drawn little daisy petals. right. Let's see here. Well, let's do this. Our good friend Luke in Australia. Hello, sir.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Hey, what's... let me just... We're all wearing figurative black armbands for your countryman, Steve Irwin.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Well, I wanted to ask you, did that Australian guy on Supernova do any tribute?
No, well, because we were talking about this, actually, that...
He probably does tonight.
Yeah, last night's episode was taped on Sunday, and it wasn't until Sunday night that the news came out about Irwin getting killed by the stingray. So if he's going to do it, which I think he will, because remember, Mark Burnett is Australian, too. So I believe that tonight you will probably see something from Toby about a moment of silence or a black armband or something. That'll be today. He's a fool if he doesn't.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
Are they going to give that guy a state funeral?
It proposed, but, I mean... You may have heard Steve's dad came out today and said, well, he wouldn't have wanted that. And which I think is a good thing. I don't think he would have wanted it either.
Well, I mean, I can see that. Because, you know, state funerals, again, and I don't mean the disrespect to Steve Irwin, but state funerals, I mean, it probably should be reserved for people who are, you know,
President Kennedy or something.
Yeah, like. I mean, that guy who actually is, you know, sort of does something to ensure the liberty and safety and whatever of a country. And I don't really know the wrestling a reptile really counts.
No, we'll save the state funerals for Katie Couric.
Yes, it's the puffy Katie Couric.
I was thinking about it. How about a sign off? She goes, I'm Katie Couric, $14 million.
Totally. That's it. That's a new bit. Hold on. What should Katie's sign off be? Hold on. That's an instant radio
Luke
bit right there.
Wins. That's the best sign off ever.
Katie's sign off. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, and people are like, why are you calling her fat and making fun of, you know, $14 million.
Yeah.
Cry me a river. She can wipe her tears on the check from the bank.
That's,
you know,
more than $1 million a month.
It really is true. I mean,
how much per word?
And I don't, and how, well, not how much per word. That program is half an hour long.
Yeah.
How much per day?
That
like $1 million
is 2.5 hours a week. That is,
yeah,
10 hours a month.
Yeah, but more expensive in Midtown Manhattan.
Well, that's 10 hours a month.
That's $100,000 an hour.
That's 120 hours of news a year. She's working 120 hours, which is a little less than 6 days.
Yeah, I do it for $50,000, $100,000.
Yeah.
$100,000
We basically
hour.
Do it for Pop-Tarts here and like the occasional free country CD.
I know,
and a
t-shirt.
Steak of Visa.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, well, sorry about Steve Irwin, my friend.
Me too. Just a couple more things quickly. I had to say, I'm pretty sure it was the plane that flew Steve's body back, and quite ironic, the last three letters of the registration were H-A-M, Ham. I thought that was...
Ham.
Yeah, well, you know, just thinking that's probably what the Crocs think.
Ah, I thought it was because he what? Oh, all right, there you go. I think that's some humor being lost in translation there. That was,
that's okay.
I thought you meant like he was. Let me ask you this. In Australia, do they ever say in Australia about somebody who's a really shameless comedian that they ever refer to a guy as being a ham?
Now
as I say that phrase aloud, I realize how bizarre it sounds. But yeah, but it's like an American thing. If a guy is just a really shameless comedian who just will stoop to anything to get a laugh, they go, yeah, that guy's a ham.
Okay.
Now that I think about it, that doesn't make any sense. Why do you say that?
Well,
why is someone a ham if they're funny?
No.
That don't make any sense at all.
You're not addressing me now, eh?
No, I'm just addressing the public at large. Now, you're Australian. What the hell would you know? No, you have no knowledge of ham and comedy.
No, not at all.
No. I'm saying it's an Americanism. It's an American, it's a colloquialism.
Okay. Last thing, I was on the phone to a flying company in Beaverton the other day, and I couldn't help but tell the guy to tune in.
And
your show. So I just want to let you know, I spread the word from the other side of the planet.
I have seen it. I have seen the tag in your emails pointing people towards our website, and it always goes appreciated. And by the way, I don't mean what the hell would you know you're Australian. I mean, in terms of a stupid American phrase, you'll be no help. And I don't even know what it means now. There's somebody find out what that means. All right. Hey, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty J wants to ask you a question.
All right, quit this bitch.
Thank you, sir. That's what Katie Couric's sign-up should be.
Yeah.
I'm Katie Couric, and I quit this bitch. That's fantastic. All right, 503-733-2970. Mailman Chris is back. He wants to know when they air the Rockstar Show in terms of... Somebody actually was talking about voting, and like when... I should have asked Luke this, but for example, when do the people in Australia vote? I mean, that show's seen all around the world.
That's actually what I just asked Scotty to ask him.
Yeah, who is... Well, Scotty, just ask him off the air. Who is the first country to vote? Is it the East Coast? And then does it go East Coast, Mountain, West Coast, Hawaii?
Well,
in other words, does it
their
work
day
backward?
Begins before ours does.
Yeah, but
they celebrate New Year's before.
But do they air the show before there before we get it here? In other words, is the East Coast United States the first market to see Rockstar Supernova, or do they actually, because it's taped in advance, air it in another country first?
Oh,
and because are they ahead of us or behind us?
They're ahead of us.
12 hours ahead of us.
But okay, I can see right now the Mayo marker saying that we're entering an area where it's all going to become confusing. My
no,
brain
they,
is going to
they
hurt.
Always show New Year's in Australia.
Oh, wait, hold on. Luke is back. Hello, Luke.
Yep, still here.
All right, so when... Hello, sir. So when... This gets confusing because it's a question of time zones. When...
I don't know, first of all, because it's on pay TV here, and I don't have pay TV. Only a quarter of Australians have it.
Oh, well, never mind then.
So,
all right.
But you can go and have a look at this website. Do you want me to give it to you now, or do you want me to give it to Scotty?
Give it to Scotty.
Okay, cool.
All right, thank you. There you go, back. All right, there you go. All right, there you go, Chris. Sorry I couldn't help you.
No, it answered some of it.
All right, there you go. And I quit this pitch. All right, there you go. That's fantastic. Let's see. Oh, wait, Mike knows why people... Hello, Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I know why bad actors or comedians are called hams.
Why?
Originally, if you were a good actor, like in Shakespearean times, you could afford expensive cold cream to take off the heavy makeup they wore on stage. But if you were a bad actor, the only thing you could use that was as effective was like rendered pork fat.
Oh!
Rub that all over, and then you would smell like a ham. So if you were a bad actor, they called you a ham.
Here's the thing. I don't even care if that's true or not. In my head now, that's going to be the answer I give. Thank you, sir.
What about a ham radio?
There you go. That's Mike.
What is spread on that?
Oh, see, if you do that, see, then like a Craig Adams guy will call up. Somebody, he'll call up and know the answer to that. No
I've
disrespect.
I've always wondered.
No, he'll know. This is the audit. Will probably know. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, Bush finally acknowledges something he kind of fibbed about a few months ago. Yes, we have secret CIA prisons, and what about it?
As a recently foiled plot in London shows, the terrorists are still active, and they're still trying to strike America, and they're still trying to kill our people.
This beef is delicious.
That's why we've taken over these old Soviet gulags in Eastern Europe, and they're sending all these people there.
Yeah, we talked to Lisa Goddard about this, and we were unclear about whether this is even illegal. Here's the thing, and I meant to ask Lisa Goddard this, but then we got bogged down in the whole thing about something or other, about being beaten with a hose. And my question is, and I think I know the answer to this, that, like, if it turns out that this is illegal, and when I say so what, I'm not saying that it's fine with me, but I'm saying so what in the sense of, like, really, there is no external force that can really make us stop doing anything like that. Really, I mean, it's like what's the rest of the world going to send us to bed without our dinner? That's in a way, it does us no good to have Bush admit that there's like a secret. Which really, this when you think about it, speaking of beef or vendetta and that kind of world, not to overstate the situation of the world we live in now, but I mean, it's not a completely Orwellian existence that we leave or anything. But on the other hand,
we do have Katie Couric.
It is.
She's free to speak her mind, and you are free to email her with your ideas on how to close the program.
And really, that's what democracy means to me. It does. I'm sorry, I keep doing this. I've got an unpleasant tingling sensation in my chest. I believe I may be dying.
Are you having a heart attack?
How would I know?
Is your left side going numb?
Is it the left or the right side?
I think it's the left.
I live in fear sometimes that I'll get a shooting pain in my arm and I won't be able to remember which side that it is. And then I'll just be like, well, whatever. And then I'll just...
It could be an esophagus problem.
No, it's sort of a right here. It's like a spreading sort of shooting pain in my chest.
I think it's gas.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's see if I can belch.
Oh, Rick.
I'm just kidding. I don't know how to belch.
Okay,
this
studio is way too small for that.
I'm not one of those guys. What was I saying? Oh, but speaking of V for Vendetta, the really creepy thing about this is, speaking of Creedy and his black bags, that, I mean, that's kind of the unnerving thing, right? Is that...
They'll put a potato sack on your head and send you some old...
Well, not only that, but that, I mean, we just heard the president admit on national television, and I don't think I'm being alarmist or... I don't mean to sound like... I don't think I'm sounding like some Randy Rhodes hippie claptrap when I say this. Mm-hmm. The President of the United States just admitted on national television that we have secret prisons where there are no courts where people are being held without trial, right?
Correct.
Were you listening? Lisa Goddard said that.
Yeah.
George W.
It's
Bush.
It's a very small number of detainees.
That's what Lisa Goddard sees. That was the lead story, that George W. Bush admitted on camera in public that there are secret prisons where people are being held without trial and without due process. He admitted it on television today. Mm-hmm. And yet the idea that...
Maybe we can have a reality show to go find them.
And that maybe that's illegal, maybe it's not, but the idea that if it is illegal... There's really nothing anybody can do about that. Like, that's kind of the freaky part, is that George W. Bush, not that he did it, it's that he felt impunity to go on television and say, yes, we have secret prisons. We're holding people without trial all over the world.
A few months ago, he wasn't saying that.
No, and just, and it's just sort of a, what of it? What are you going to do? And the answer is there's really nothing that can be done by anybody.
No.
That's the creepy part. It's almost creepier, not that he did it. It's that he has the stones to get on television and say, yeah, we're doing that. Secret prisons. No trial, no judge. Yep. What are you going to do? Because he knows that there's nothing that can be done. That's the creepy part about it. And I'm not trying to incite anything. I'm really not. I'm just saying, it is that kind of thing that in the past, in other countries, has led to revolutions. Because they, people don't like the idea that suddenly they've been backed into a corner where there's nothing they can do to change it.
There won't be any revolution until they take sports off television. And you can do whatever you want to do.
As long as there's Cheetos in the machine. You know, there's not going to be any riots in this country. But all right.
Someday they may come for you.
What is that? Did you be putting back in the back of the truck? This is for your protection. Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's that.
So there you go, kids. Gather your rope spots while you may. Before the guy with
I'm
the
sure
French.
Everyone's very upset about.
Knocks you. They're really not. That's the thing is, there really is no middle ground in this country. There's either I'm really upset, and I'm just working myself into a tizzy. And again,
but there are four ESPN channels. So.
That's the or there's the whole there's the whole what. What other countries? There are no other countries. Let's see. Is this a Joe? Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up,
hey.
Joe?
What I want to, part of what I want to clarify, because I actually listened to the speech, but they, part of what he's trying to do is get it out in the open and get Congress to get off their lazy asses and pass a law, because what everybody's worried about is that these freaking... terrorist scumbags are going to lawyer up, then they're going to start suing people.
Yes, we wouldn't want a criminal to have a lawyer.
Well, no, this is different than a criminal defense lawyer. What he thought, was part of what he was talking about was them lawyering up and actually starting civil litigation to sue, like, you know, some army guy, hey, your order is to go detain these guys down at Guantanamo Bay, and the next thing you know, he's getting sued by this freaking terrorist who was trying to blow people up, or that they say was trying to blow people up. And so what he's trying to do is get everything out in the open and get Congress to pass a law basically stating that, hey, you know what, when they're following their orders and stuff, they can't be sued personally, and clarify what they can and can't do in regards to these pickweeds they've got down in Guantanamo. You understand?
Yes. What? No, yes. Yes.
Are you losing me?
Yeah, wait. Yes, we are. All right, thank you, Joe.
Hey.
All right, there you go. That's Joe.
And by the way...
And... Wait. Oh, we're sorry. There you go.
In the mainstream world of talk radio, that would be a purely logical call.
No, that would be a lot of Bill O'Reilly. Well spoken, sir. And God bless you. I don't mean to be mean to Joe. Joe probably thinks I was Dan probably thinks I was beat. Dan, God damn you. Probably thinks I was being mean to Joe just now. But you know what? It's not that Joe doesn't have a valid point. He doesn't. But I don't want to get drawn into a whole thing about it. And just because there's no, I mean, I can just, because I got too many chest pains as they are right now. This is sort of unnerving me, actually.
No, it is just.
Maybe some more Viso will cure these chest pains. I'm just going to drink some of this.
If you collapse on the air, that'd be great rating.
Thank you. I'll do it on a Thursday. All right. I'll do it. Make sure to do it at like 20 after the hour. Here's Tim Riley.
Tomorrow we're going to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Is it today, Wednesday?
Free lunch.
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow's staff
Friday,
lunch.
Friday, I won't be here.
You know why I could? I keep forgetting that. We got to get somebody to do news for you. I knew you keep saying it's got to be Scotty J.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's Scotty J's time to shine.
Who's going
to
screen the calls?
Scotty J.
He can't do the news. Does that studio come up on the board in here?
No.
Scotty's room?
I don't think so.
Well,
no.
He can't screen the calls.
The board is so small, it doesn't have any extra pots.
He can't screen the calls and wrangle the guests and do all of that and also do the news. Because we got to, like, this is the news hour. You get a full hour.
Well, maybe we could find somebody else to screen the calls for the day.
All right. Well, it's just, this becomes a whole house that Jack built. Scotty is, again, screaming at me on the thing that I should be nice to the listeners. I'm not being mean to Joe. I'm just saying That doesn't seem like an argument that's ever going to resolve itself. You know what I mean? That seems like one of the... It does seem like one of those things that just becomes an endless Escher painting of an argument where you're just going around and around and around about it. But you know what? I don't care.
Let's talk about abortion.
Lawyer... Let's do that. Let's talk about people with guns who are having abortions while living next to nuclear power plants. That would be the ultimate talk radio topic right there. Who have just been fired and replaced by a black woman. All right, here's Tim Riley. I'm sorry, Joe, if you feel it's me. Well,
there are plenty of good white people out there who can't find jobs. They're more than qualified.
They're all being replaced by Asians and their huge brains and inflated salaries.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a fact. That was in the story. That was in the paper the other day. Asians. First of all. Hey, speaking of reality program, we're talking about Rockstar here. I got to say this right now. And this is what? Today is September 6th? Today is September 6th. Right, because Monday is September 11th. September 6th. A couple things. A, so when does that new Sorkin series premiere? Does anybody know? Is it October? Well, whatever.
Know.
Because I finally, at long last... Finally, at long last, I got a copy from Peter Carlin of The Oregonian of that new Aaron Sorkin television series, so I'm going to be watching that. B, you know that new Survivor's coming up, and you know that I am not typically a reality viewer. None of us are. But I was talking to Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran about this last night. He's not a reality TV viewer either. But I got to tell you, it's like with the Katie Couric thing. I think that I will probably get sucked in for at least a couple episodes of that new Survivor because it's the one where it's Whitey versus Asians versus Hispanics versus the black folk, right? Isn't that it? It's then the four tribes on the new Survivor, and yeah. So I will total. I'm no.
They're
not
the four
lie.
Kinds of people who live here in America.
See, then there are no other kinds.
No,
just that.
No mixes of any other.
Everyone's standing, just painting with primary colors, really. So and Mark Burnett.
All right, here's Tim Riley. Well, a Senate Democrat is calling for Donald Rumsfeld to step down and is expected to try to introduce a no confidence bill later today. Nevada Senator Harry Reid is sponsoring the Sense for the Senate bill. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist told the Today Show that the measure won't see the light of day if it comes to a vote in the Senate.
Will it come to the floor today? I don't know for sure. If it does, number one, the American people want us to be safe and secure. They recognize it takes bold leadership.
Right.
Number two, I strongly support Don Rumsfeld. So, and number three, if it comes to the floor, that resolution would be defeated.
All right. Well, there you go. And so forth. You know, this is... Katie's sign-off, Rick, should be don't let the bitches on The View grind you down. Apparently, Elaine Boozler, who has a great name. Elaine Boozler's not all that funny, but I love saying her name. And I got kind of a thing for Jewish chicks. I think she's filling in for Stephanie Miller this week. I've only been catching, like, the last half hour of that program. But I think they were talking about the Katie Couric thing this morning. Here's the great thing about Rumsfeld. And I meant to ask Lisa Goddard about this, but I didn't because we got off into this whole thing about Bush beating people with hoses in secret basements while wearing a mask. Bush's mask has the zipper across the mouth, too. We were talking about some other thing. I meant to ask this. Democratic senators will offer a no-confidence measure on Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, blah, 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 blah. Now, see, in Britain, though, that means something, right?
Like in Britain, you.
Yeah, like in Britain, there's no confidence. That's a whole lot of, like, you have a month to clean out your desk.
Canada, too.
You don't have to leave today, but you're going to be leaving soon. That's where they hear it's just sort of like a, we don't like you.
Well,
it's
you hang on until the next election.
That's just another example of spineless, spineless, toothless legislation being offered by the left. But you know what they need to have here? What would solve the whole problem is if they just had that thing here that they have in Britain where, like, once a month everybody gets to yell at the prime minister. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, Prime Minister's Question Time.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Is that the actual name of it?
Yep.
Have you seen it, Sarah? Oh, it's fantastic.
I mean, Bush could never survive.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's a thing of, it makes me happy.
No, you actually have to be smart to be the Prime Minister of Britain.
I remember seeing John Major take that back in the day, and it's like, they'll show it on C-SPAN occasionally, and the deal is, it is like once a month, I believe, where the Prime Minister of Britain has to go and be in front of both houses, the House of Lords and the House of Commons, and he has to stand there. And it's like open season. Like, he has to stand there, no handlers, no nothing. And, like, anybody who wants can just, in either of the houses of parliament, can just get up and just, like, lay into him, just a question, berate, badger, yell, scream. And there's, like, booing, and there's, like, heckling. I mean, it's
on C-SPAN.
Oh, it's fantastic. Bush would just crumble like a daisy. He would just crumble like a rose left in the sun all week. It'd be fantastic. It really would. That would get, like, an 80 share right there. That would get Howard Beale ratings. Let's see. This is Steven. Steven, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Had fun last night at Dante's.
God bless you. Thank you for coming down.
I wanted to point out, I hadn't heard anybody say anything about this, but I got to love Storm. She actually got an F-bomb past the censors.
On CBS, that seems unlikely.
I didn't notice it, and I was driving home with my buddy, and his girlfriend called and said she heard it, and I had the show taped.
Well, here's the thing, is that we all thought we heard that when she sang Gloria Gaynor, like a month ago. Everybody at Dante said, swore to God that they heard it. And then later, we watched it, and there was nothing.
Well, I've watched it multiple times on my videotape and the online version, and I can tell you exactly where to listen.
Well, let's not do that just now, thanks. I don't want to encourage, the youth are listening.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank
you. I'll just say, at your leisure.
Just drop me an email.
Oh, okay, I'll do that. But right. A couple other quick rock star things.
Yes.
I don't know if Toby even knows about Steve Irwin, because they're so cut off from the world there.
That's a fair point, actually. No, that's a totally fair point. They don't even have internet access there.
Yeah, so he may be clueless about that.
That's a fair point. I had never really thought about that.
That's true. Yeah, no internet, no papers. They don't know anything.
So don't bash him if he doesn't pay tribute.
Well, I'm not going to bash him. It doesn't matter to me.
We don't bash people.
I'm yeah. This is a thing. In no way would I. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I'm not Australian. So, no. I just think from a public relations point of view, if he knows about it, he really ought to do it. And again, because Mark Burnett is also Australian, I got to figure that word, those Australians, they stick together. They're like that. So.
Well, it would be great if he does.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
All right, that's
Australian Mafia.
503-733-297. How can Australia vote for him with only half the people paying to view? Okay, but the people who watch the show vote, Scotty. I think that was the thing. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rick. About 14 years ago, I was in Alaska working in the commercial fishing industry. On a rare Sunday off, we hit a restaurant for breakfast. As I was sitting lusting over the menu, which included salmon eggs and Benedict, the fellow in the booth behind me spoke as he paid his bill. I heard his voice. I sat straight up and I smiled at my friend. When I turned around to look, he was standing up to pay his bill. He extended his hand. He said hello. Sure enough, it was Charles Kuralt. He was visiting Ketchikan, Alaska, for him to visit one of his many wives. To visit one of his many secret families.
Now we know why he was always on the road.
On the road, trying to meet the sexual and economic demands of 15 different families with Charles Kuralt. He said, I was touched. What a small world. So we can say that because he's dead. And so forth. All right, here's Tim Riley.
I wonder if the diamond industry is under fire for some reason because there's a big full-page ad in Diamond Facts. They fund schools, improve health care, they build nations.
Whose hands are those holding diamonds?
Some rich white woman.
Is there a hobbling axe right next to the hands?
So I guess the industry must be under fire if they're taking out a full-page ad.
I can't imagine why.
Well, they build schools and help children. We probably didn't even know that.
And you can use those to... You can use diamonds to I don't know what to.
That is the most random ad.
You can use those to play Elvis Costello records. I have a diamond needle at home. About.
Discover everything a diamond can do.
No, they're a force for good in the world.
They're against terrorism. I know that. They make us safer.
They're for puppies.
Have you heard Kanye West diamonds are forever?
Yes. This samples the James Bond thing, right? Isn't that the yes? Mm. Babies and the rainbows. Mm.
Well, Victor Willis, the original policeman for the 1970s disco band The Village People, has been sentenced to 3 years probation on drug possession charges.
What after you talking
to
about,
enter
Willis?
A treatment program.
Yeah.
He was arrested in San Francisco in March after police stopped his car and found cocaine.
He and Boy George and George Michael ought to do one big tour together. That's really where this is all headed. And this is like the 100th time he's been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
This really, do they have a picture?
No, they don't.
Oh, man. And it's like, I want you to, because we've all seen it, I want you to conjure up in your head what the policeman from The Village People looked like in 1977, which is to say with all his teeth and sort of not covered in sores. He doesn't look like that anymore. I swear to God that the last time that there was any sort of substantial news coverage. Do you realize that guy was actually not only the lead singer for The Village People, he was a millionaire and he was married to Felicia Rashad at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a guy, it sounds stupid, you're talking about a guy, The Village People, you don't really think of them, but The Village People, man, they not only did they clean up back in the day, but the Village People now, sans this guy, Victor Willis, is with some other guy singing. They have a stand, I think it's at Disney World, where they have a standing gig at Disney World. And then, of course, you know, they did such a huge following, not just in the gay community, but in the straight community, too, because everybody, they have just entered that realm of American camp and American iconography. And yet, meanwhile, Victor Willis, they busted him about 3 years ago for smoking crack, and literally, they busted him while he was pushing a shopping cart full of cans along some street in Los Angeles, trying to get enough cans so he could go to the store to buy one of those little pipes filled with roses that you use as like a bass pipe. That's what Victor Willis is doing these days. So, save your money, kids, when you become famous. It's a short ride.
Oh, his lawyer is Mark Garagos.
Mark Garagos. That's what happens by the Mark Garagos when you lose like three high profile cases in a row. You start representing a toothless guy who sang a disco song 40 years ago.
He still has a publicist though.
Who?
Her name is Alice Wolf, and he says he's going to the Betty Ford Center, so he has some money.
I wonder if she knows that. The Betty Ford Center. Okay. At the Betty Ford Center. I read somewhere the Betty Ford Center. It cost like $55,000. To go through that place.
Yes, Betty Ford.
I mean, as Sam Kinison once so sagely noted, if you've got $55,000, you don't have a real drug problem yet. You have no serious drug dependency. Hey, speaking of drug problems, the chest pains seem to have gone away. They sort of diminished. Oh, wait, no, there's one back. Now it's gone again. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Dude, you got to get that traffic chick on the show. Sounds like radio gold, especially that she has a sexy British accent. No, Scotty, we should look into that. Whoever the traffic girl, anybody know her name? What's her name, Sarah?
I think it might be Jenny.
Oh, callously.
I need you. No, really, I don't. They're gonna fire me. they've got my family in a cell.
No, it's not Jen. I don't know.
Well, she's British. Her name's probably,
It's probably on the Coin News site.
Yeah, my name never was.
let's see if she's on the Coin News site, shall we?
All right.
Let's do that right now.
In real time.
Let's know this as it happens. Because Sarah, of course, were you ever on the Coin News site?
Yes, sure.
I was there for a little while, and then all of a sudden I was gone.
Then one day you were, one day they disappeared you?
Yeah.
All right. You were recovering at a dacha in the countryside?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
Yeah, I'm looking through my phone. I really have no idea.
Jeff Gianola and Kelly. Is Kelly Day still there?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think. She was on there last night. I was watching the news.
Oh, well, okay. I thought she had gone. Let's see.
No, no. The girl I worked with, Katie Baker,
all right.
Left.
How about Jeff Gianola? Is he still there?
No, Jeff Gianola is right up there at the top looking like David Paymer. Let's see. I'm clicking on traffic. No, it's just some stills of the ODOT cameras.
That's helpful.
Thank you. Here's a picture of the sky. And it's not even of the roads. Check this out. The ODOT traffic cameras. And literally, it's just like a picture of a mountain. There you go. So in case you're wondering,
anywhere.
In case you and your Sherpa are going to be heading out for the day, this is exactly what it looks like up the north face of Rainier.
New coin girl Jenny.
New coin girl Jenny. All right. I'm trying to see if there's any sort of, let's see. Wait.
Isn't the rapping traffic?
This is
her. Isn't the rapping traffic girl's name Jenny?
Let's find out, and then we'll go to... Let's take that to a break, shall we? As they say, let's ride that to break. And by the way, Lo, this one's for you. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't
go
anywhere.
Jenny has traffic.
All right, I'm
it
all
is
nervous.
Jenny.
Jenny has traffic.
All right, I'm all nervous.
Back after this.
Here's my rap. Ahem. All right, you're going to have a good, good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking at country clubs. Things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad. No, 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 no. Now things look nice on 68. And I know you ain't going to be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl. Austin Kavanaugh, come on, give us a weather boy, give it to us. Word.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way.